Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Good morning. My name is Dan Fuller. I'm our Director of Student Ministry here at Pleasant Valley. It is a pleasure to open up God's Word with you all this morning and learn what God has for us. A few weeks ago, the student ministry went to summer camp at Crossings Camp, and we had an awesome time there at Crossings. The zip lines were awesome. The messages were awesome. The laser tag was awesome. The worship was awesome. The bazooka ball was awesome. The late games were awesome. It was a great, great time with our student ministry. We had an awesome time. And the Lord touched several students' lives in awesome ways. There was one student in particular who, after one of the sermons, was touched by a story that the pastor told about a little girl who had come to know Christ and was diagnosed with cancer. And then this little girl continued to proclaim Christ even though she passed away at a young age. And it really touched his heart and his life. And I could see him, man, he's right here in the front too. Anis was really touched by the service and continued to be kind of touched by the Lord and what he was doing. And even in worship, he was in tears. He was really moved by what the Lord was doing. And so we talked after the message, and he kept saying, as he was kind of wrestling through different things, he's like, it doesn't make sense. Like, why would Jesus take on my sin on the cross? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I'm giving him my sin on the cross, and he's giving me his righteousness. Like, it doesn't make sense. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, you're getting it. Like, absolutely. There's this exchange that happens that doesn't make sense. Why would God give us his righteousness in exchange for our sin? Like, that makes no sense. You're right. You're getting it. And so we talked about this, and we talked about confessing sin to the Lord, repenting and believing in Jesus. And as we were talking about those things, he confessed sin. He talked about how before he thought church was a joke and would make fun of it, and would make fun of people who went to church, and how he fought against his parents when they would make him go to church. And I didn't really realize this until afterward, but the way he was talking about that sin, he was referring to it in past tense already. Like, the Lord had just touched his life like 5 minutes ago, right? And he's already talking, like, this is a direct quote. He was like, I used to think church was a joke. I used to fight my parents when they would make me go to church, but now I want to go to church. Like, 5 minutes later, right after the Lord spoke into his life, he's like, I now have a new life. I want to go to church now. I want to learn more about God. And he's here sitting in the front row. Praise God. I'm like, yes, Anya's like, you're getting it. Yeah, praise God. Absolutely. Man, like, in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has gone away. Behold, the new has come. It was awesome to see his faith in Christ. I was like, man, we haven't even done like the official stuff yet, right? Like, pray the prayer or whatever, but he was already referring to his past life in past tense with faith like a child. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let those who are young set an example for the believers. By faith, God brings transformation. Guys, we are continuing our series on heroes of the faith from Hebrews 11. This is a passage in Hebrews 11. It's a list of ordinary men and ordinary women who have extraordinary moments of faith in God. Specifically, the Old Testament records their huge leaps of faith that they make, which are an overflow of a life that has been radically changed by God. Let's read this section from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 29 through 31. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Now, this passage of Hebrew goes through a brief overview of a lot of characters in the Old Testament and praises them for their faith, their response of faith. And this also, this section also gives us some context for the story of Rahab. God saves his people from slavery in Egypt. He rescues them out. That's the story of the 10 plagues. He rescues them out of Egypt and they cross the Red Sea. God splits open the waters of the Red Sea. They cross through as on dry land. And the Egyptian army is coming up behind them, ready to decimate them, to destroy them completely. And at the perfect moment, God closes the waters of the Red Sea on this invading Egyptian army. Then over a very long and sanctifying process, God takes the people of Israel through the wilderness to the land he promised for them. Moses dies and Joshua becomes the new leader of God's people. And as they cross over into the promised land to take possession of it, they go and search out the land, and Joshua, the new leader, sends out spies to a city called Jericho where they are going. And we'll pick up in the Old Testament. This is Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." So let me back up and give us some context here. We introduced you to the character of the two spies, and we're introduced to the main character of this section, whose name is Rahab, Rahab the prostitute. She is living in a pagan city, one that does not worship God. In fact, worships false idols, worships little g false gods. They are the furthest thing from worshiping God. This is a wicked, wicked city, and Rahab is a wicked woman in a wicked city. She is a prostitute. We don't know if she was forced into this life or chose it, but regardless, she is a prostitute, someone who sold herself out for money. We also know about Rahab that she had a family. It's talked about her mother and her father, and that she had a home that was built into the side of the city. Now, an artist did an architectural drawing of what they thought the city of Jericho looks like, and we'll put that on the screen here. You guys should be able to get a clear picture of what Jericho looks like from this artist's rendition. Okay, we'll go to the next one. So as you see, there has been archaeological digs. Then we have a lot of information about the city of Jericho. There's a lot of history there, and there's quite a lot of information there. So this is kind of what we believe the city of Jericho may have looked like. There's two different walls of the city, and we believe that Rahab likely lived in between the inner and outer wall. Her home would have been there, attached to the outer wall of the city. And so she had a window in her home that gave access in and out of Jericho, and that's what the spies used later on in the story to get out of the city. So we learn that men lodged there, and so that this is a house of a prostitute. It's also some kind of lodging house where travelers would pass through. We know this because of the very careful way that the author wrote this section to avoid a hint of sexual encounter between the spies and Rahab, and because of the surprising amount of information that Rahab knows about the Israelites already. So she would have been in a place where travelers have passed through and would have learned a lot of information by those passing by. Now what happens in verse 3, Rahab is asked by the king of Jericho, the city that she lives in, her king, this large walled city of Jericho, a fortress in the land of Canaan, to bring out the spies who are in her house. And what's next is really amazing. Rahab makes a choice. She chooses to put her life on the line and to lie, to defy her own king and commit treason. We'll pick up there in Joshua 2, 4 through 11. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, this is the lie. True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid on in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Verse 8, before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all of the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard of it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Rahab chooses to risk her life for the lives of these spies, these people that she does not know. She risks her life because she has heard about the God of the Israelites. She has heard about this God who parted the waters of the Red Sea, who rescued these people from the Egyptian army, the most powerful army of the most powerful nation at that time, Egypt. And then how she brought them, and how God brought them through the land of the Amorites. I love some Bible history, some deep Bible history. So this is from the book of Numbers. There's two kings, King Sihon and Og. Just bear with me. I know no one else cares about this, but I do. So there's two kings. There's King Sihon and Og. And King Sihon is known for his huge army. In the book of Numbers, the Israelites ask permission to pass through the land of the Amorites. King Sihon says, no, not a chance. He meets the Israelites with his army, and God destroys the army of the Amorites. Then they continue on, and King Og, they ask him for passage through. King Og says no and brings out. So actually, King Og is known for 60 walled cities in his town, a death trap for nomads. But God still delivers the Israelites through these two great kings. When the people of Jericho heard this, their hearts melted. Rahab then makes a choice. She chooses the God of Israel instead of trusting her own people. She takes a leap of faith, and this is what she says. I'm going to read it again. This is her profession of faith, Joshua 2:11. And as soon as we heard of it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Rahab takes a leap of faith. She trusts in God instead of in her walled city, in her king and in his army. Instead of trusting in her own ability to save herself, to provide for herself, she places faith in God. Her faith is demonstrated by her huge leap of faith. Rahab has this all or nothing kind of faith. By faith, Rahab takes action. She has a choice here. She either trusts the king of Jericho and her walled city and has the spies caught and killed, or she puts her life on the line and trusts in the God of the Israelites. Do we have a kind of all or nothing faith in God like Rahab does? Do we trust that he will provide for us even when we don't know what the outcome will be? Do we trust in him with our lives, our vocations, our families, our finances? Do we have trust in the unseen God like Rahab does? Or are we trusting in the things of this world? Are we trusting in the king of Jericho to save us, in our walled city to provide for us? Do you trust that the God who delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians, the one who parted the waters of the Red Sea, who delivers them from King Sihon and King Og, is powerful enough to protect, who cares enough about you to trust in him? Rahab believes in God and acts on that belief by placing her life on the line. She takes a leap of faith. Her action demonstrates her belief in God as the one who will save and provide for her. In the book of James, her faith put into action is commended when it says this, James 2:25. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Rahab's belief in God was demonstrated by her faith put into action by saving the spies. Do we have a faith like Rahab that has been put into action? Do you believe in God, but your life doesn't show the fruit of your belief? Do you trust in God? When God says go, do you go? When God says stay, do you stay? When God says speak to this person, share the gospel with this person, do you obey him? Do you daily count on and rely on him? Has your faith been put into action? Rahab's story demonstrates faith in action. Do you know a ton of facts about God? Have you read parts of the Bible you know about God and his mighty works? But you have not yet taken a leap of faith and trusted in God for your salvation. Put your trust in Jesus Christ to be the redeemer of your soul, the ruling, reigning king of your life. Will the king of Jericho save you? Will the high walls? Will anything of this world, money, power, success, pleasure, comforts, save you when you stand before a righteous God as a condemned sinner? What will you say when you stand before God on the judgment day? Only Jesus, only by repenting and believing in Jesus will you be saved. So continuing on with the story of Rahab, Rahab makes a pact with the spies in exchange for saving them, that they would remember her and spare her when Israel comes through to destroy the city of Jericho. We learn that in Joshua chapter 6, that Rahab lets down a scarlet cord, and this is the symbol of where Rahab's house is. And Joshua, God honors this, and Joshua commands those same spies to go and save Rahab and her family from destruction. Then God does something amazing for Rahab. He not only saves her, but he completely transforms her identity. We learn in Matthew chapter 1 about God's amazing work. So this is Matthew chapter 1. We don't know right after that what happens to Rahab, but we pick up way later in the Bible in Matthew chapter 1 what happens to Rahab. So this is Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. And Solomon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, there she is, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. So we learn here that God gives Rahab, after saving her, God gives Rahab a husband named Solomon. You pronounce the L, not Salmon, Solomon. They have a son named Boaz. Does that name ring a bell to anybody? Boaz, the love story of the book of the Judges time period. Boaz and Ruth, this great love story that's right in the middle of the Old Testament. Rahab is Ruth's mother-in-law. She marries Ruth marries Boaz. Rahab is now the great-great-grandmother, we learn from Matthew chapter 1, of King David, the greatest king in Israel's history. So God transforms her story from a prostitute living in a wicked city in a wicked land and makes her the great-great-grandmother of the greatest king in Israel. He completely transforms her story. But then God does even more. We learn from Matthew chapter 1 that according to this, she is the great-great-grandmother of David, but that she is also the great-great-great-great-great-great-great, 29 greats later, I won't count them for you guys, the great-great, 29 greats later, grandmother of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. God takes a prostitute living in a wicked city in a wicked land of Canaan and brings her into his covenant family. He brings her into the lineage of the greatest king of Israel and of the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Man, talk about transformation. Our God is a God of transformation. Can I get an amen? Woo! Do you believe that God can transform you and your story? You may be like, well, Dan, I have done some things. I have really messed up my story. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been, what I've said, what I've thought, either in reality, digitally, online. I have had wicked thoughts. I've done wicked things. I have been evil. You don't know what I've done, what I've lost, what I've said. And you're right, I don't. But I do know that God is still on the throne and that your story is not over yet. We are just on chapter 2. I don't care if you're 80 years old, we're still on chapter 2, and God has so many things to do with your story. Your story is not yet written. When I first came to Pleasant Valley about 2 years ago, I came out of a church in Georgia that was kind of rough. It was a hard transition. There was some church hurt there. There were some things that went down with the leadership that was not okay, and I was really hurt by the way things went down. I also did some things in response that were not very honoring of Christ. And so I was kind of wrestling through some of these things. But man, when I came to Pleasant Valley, I found it to be a place of rest and of peace and of wonderful leadership. And I hope that you would find it the same. I met with one of our pastors one-on-one. One of our lay pastors named Steve Carlisle, wonderful man. And I was telling him about my time at the church in Georgia and how, man, I just felt naive. I felt like maybe I should have seen some of these bad things that happened coming or avoided them or left sooner or maybe not gone to that church in the first place. And Steve stopped me kind of in the middle of me telling that story. And he says, Dan, do you think it was a mistake for you to bring your family to that church? Good question, Steve. So before I answered, he cut me off and he said, no, it was not a mistake, Dan. God had you there for a purpose and a plan. God knew what he was doing. It was not a mistake. And I wanted to receive those words, but I was like, Steve, let me finish. Like, let me tell you all the bad things that happened. Like, let me share with you. Let me get all these things. And he's like, we can talk more, but like, God had you there for a purpose and a plan. And Genesis 50:20 teaches us that what man meant for evil, God used for good. The things that you have experienced in this life are not an accident. God has been in the process of bringing you to himself. However long and complicated and twisty and turny that process has been, he wants to transform your life. He wants to remove the old self and give you a new self. By faith, God brings transformation to our life. Man, like Anya's in our opening story, it's been 5 minutes since the Lord touched his life, and he's already referring to his old self in the past tense. I love that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you have never taken a leap of faith and trusted your personal salvation in Jesus Christ, let today be the day. Our ministry team will be down here for the song and then even after at the end of the service to talk with you, to pray with you. They would love to encourage you, to talk to you about your salvation or really about anything. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, would you consider today, would you take a step of faith, trusting in God to be your Savior, your King, and your protector? You're done trusting the King of Jericho, the walled city, the things of this world to protect you. You need Christ. Would you have faith today that is like Rahab, an all or nothing kind of faith? Maybe you would say today, by the grace of God, Dan, I look at my life, I look at the past places I've been, and I have been redeemed. I have been transformed by the gospel, and I have a new life in Christ. And to that, I say, amen, praise God. And this next challenge is for you. Do you have faith that God can transform the lives of other people? Maybe it's easier for you to say, man, I trust that God can transform my life, my heart. I see that. I've seen the fruit of that. But when I think about other people, it's really hard for me to think that God can transform their life. Dan, this guy I work with, you don't know, he is just a jerk. Like, he is just a terrible dude. There's no, like, I don't know how God could save this guy. Like, I don't know. Or maybe you're like, Dan, that family member I've got, they're lost. They are running from Christ so hard. They are running so far, so hard in the other direction. I don't know if I have faith that he can transform their life. Man, I call this not like they're lost. It's like, Dan, they're like super lost. Like, they're like way, way lost, right? And let me tell you this, Rahab's story is one of God's heart for the outsider, for what I'm calling the super lost, right? Rahab was a pagan, idol-worshiping prostitute in a wicked city in a foreign land, and God still saved her and called her to himself. He goes, you are mine, and brought her to himself, made her a part of this covenant family. God wants to redeem our lives and our stories. I love also the story of Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Rahab. Ruth was a widowed pagan foreigner, and God used a rebellious Israelite family who was not trusting in God to go to a place called Moab and grab this woman, Ruth. The story of Ruth is amazing. Grab her and bring her back to Israel and make her part of God's covenant family. God has a special heart for the outsider, for the super lost is what I'm calling it. Now, God, by faith, brings transformation to the outsider, or what I'm calling the super lost. Maybe that's just my millennial vernacular saying super lost, right? In God's eyes, there is no distinction. There is lost and there is found. But in our eyes, it's sometimes hard to wrestle with, like, man, that person just seems like super lost. Like, they seem like way out there, right? Jesus says this in Luke 5:32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you have faith enough to believe that God can transform the life of the lives of those you interact with on a regular basis? The outsider, the super lost. Man, would you take a leap of faith and talk to them? Would you have enough faith to begin a conversation with them about Christ? Would you share with them the hope that you have in Jesus Christ? Do you have faith to take that leap of faith and talk to them? Man, y'all, my grandfather was one of those. Great man, truly great man. He was a World War II veteran. He came back from the war. He, through the GI Bill, went to college. Incredibly smart, incredibly gifted, intellectually guy. Worked for a company called Bell Labs. Worked on like pre-cellular technology and stuff. Very, very smart. One of the smartest, if not the smartest men I have ever met. But the dude loved to debate. He just loved it. And so any conversation that I would have with him, or anyone in our family would have with him about God, he just turned into an argument. He really, really loved to debate. My father, my mother both shared Christ with him on different occasions. My dad, many, many times. When I was 19, a college student, I shared the gospel with him as well. We prayed for him constantly. It was decades of prayer for him that God would bring him to salvation. Grandpa Fuller was, in our eyes, super lost. He was not just lost, he was super lost. He was resistant, he was hesitant to God, but not in the Lord's eyes. And I wish I could say that there was this moment where he like came to faith and in tears, he was like, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I've been fighting and arguing with you guys. But it didn't really happen that way. One day my sister had an assignment. My grandfather passed away when he was about 92. But a few years before that, my sister had a seminary assignment where she was asking about faith of family members. And in answering questions for her for this assignment, he walked through a perfect gospel presentation and a very genuine personal belief in Jesus Christ. And we're like, what, right? So we're like reading her notes from this assignment later. We're like, well, praise God. Like that was the only thing we could say is just praise God. Like, I don't even understand. Like, but praise God. Like he has a very genuine faith. Do you have faith to believe that God can save the super lost? Those who seem like there is no chance in hell, pun intended, that God would save them from their sin. That short of a lightning strike in front of their face or writing in the clouds saying, come to Jesus. Like that's what I'm talking about with the super lost. Do you have faith to believe that God can save the outsider? As I mentioned before, our ministry team will come up as we sing the final song. Guys, and as I've been talking about the outsider, as I've been talking about the super lost, if the Lord has brought someone to mind, would you have faith, by faith, begin to pray for them? I challenge you guys, as we are singing this song, and even after the sermon as well, if you want to talk with someone, you're welcome to. Our ministry team will be down here. Would you come to the altar and pray for them?
Thanks for checking out Sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.